Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle. Hello, my circle members, and welcome to your first bonus podcast episode for the month of June 2021. This is maybe one of the most vulnerable things I've ever put on the internet, and there's a reason why it's only going out to my circle and not to the general public. So I have Jeremy from episode 39. Jeremy, if you'll remember, was the psychological astrologer, and his work is all about incorporating astrology and inner child healing to move through trauma and into purpose. So he's really amazing. I actually have a relationship with Jeremy that's sort of off social media. He and I and another friend of ours have met a few times on Zoom, and we sort of do like conscious business conversations, sort of like a mastermind. And he's just a really special person to me. And working with him is one of those things where I feel so seen and so heard, and it just feels like he knows how to tap into like a deeper part of my soul through astrology, but also through his intuition. He's like extremely, extremely intuitive. So what I'm sharing with you today is the ending part of our podcast interview where we got really personal. Not only with talking about Jeremy and why his business is called Sacred Saturn, but also most of this conversation is about my own journey of figuring out what to do with my life when I'm no longer actively mothering my children. So I've been a stay-at-home mom for nearly 20 years now, homeschooled my kids, like have been present with my kids 24/7 for 17 years. And this season of my life of like actively mothering and being responsible for my kids is quickly drawing to a close. And it's been really hard for me because all I ever wanted to be was a mother. Like I knew that was my purpose from a really young age, and I've lived in my purpose. But now it feels like with my kids growing up and going to be moving on soon, that means my purpose is changing. And what I have learned from working with both Jeremy and Tammy, the astrologer, so I've had two astrologers, and both of them have confirmed to me that mothering is part of my purpose of my entire life, and it's not just my own children. And so I think you'll hear in this conversation that I had with Jeremy that starting the circle is really part of me embarking on the next phase of motherhood for me. And it's about mothering community. And so I'm creating community, I'm birthing this community, and then I'm creating this container for it to happen and for it to grow. And I want to nurture it and nourish it and love it. And you are part of that. And in no way, shape, or form do I see myself as like the matriarch of the circle, but I do know that I'm the one who has given birth to this container. In the latter half of this episode, Jeremy takes me through a guided visualization. And even though he's doing it for me personally, I want to encourage you to do it with us. And what you see and feel will, of course, be different than what I saw and felt, but I still feel intuitively like this episode needed to be shared with you, I think that it applies to each of us. So please feel free to participate in that guided visualization. And yeah, I'm going to stop rambling now and I'm just going to let you listen. So enjoy.
Yeah. I'm going to keep the recorder going because sure. I would really actually love to hear your story about Saturn and your chart and if you're willing to tell
it. Yeah, I am. I definitely am. Okay. So I mentioned earlier about my absent father, right? In my natal chart, it really occurred to me when I realized that there were certain placements that indicated that I was going to have an absent father. And because of that, owning up my own responsibility was something that was going to be prevalent in my life. So in your case, it was about judgment, right? Having a fixed belief and expanding that judgment or learning how to accept differences. In my case, it was about learning how to be responsible because I had no one to really teach me about responsibility to affirm me that I was enough to be responsible for other things and other people as well. So that was the themes in my chart. So astrologically, it was South Node in Cancer and a North Node in Capricorn. So Capricorn is like the father archetype. And the South Node in Cancer is about the mother archetypes. In astrology, we often look at the South Node and North Nodes as the hero's path, the hero story. So we are meant to move from the South to the North. So in my case, myself is about Cancer, it's about staying safe, staying in codependency, the themes of codependency. And moving to the North means that I'm stepping into responsibility, stepping into being a mentor, being a guide. So these are things that I'm going to experience a lot of difficulties in, but it's in my path to actually embody, to learn from. And Saturn is in my midheaven, which is again the highest point in the sky. It's where people first recognize US, so Saturn. So Saturn's a planet of aloofness, coldness, who is very structured, somebody who is very formal, who is very, sometimes feels very restricted, feels very restrictive. And a lot of people tend to associate Saturn as a malefic, which is a very bad planet in that sense. In traditional astrology, Saturn is like a bad planet. But I beg to differ because I feel there's so much we can actually learn from Saturn, because Saturn, the archetype in itself, is about discipline, it's about hard work, it's about perseverance. And a lot of people are really afraid of that. I think myself included when I was growing up as well. But I think I'm starting to own up a little bit of those traits a lot more in my life as well. Yeah,
that's really beautiful. That's so beautiful. Midheaven, that's where my moon is. My moon is in my midheaven. As soon as you said that, I was like, that's what it is. Because I thought, I was thinking at the top of my chart, so I was like, 10th house maybe? But is that the 10th house, the midheaven?
Yes.
Ah.
10th house is a midheaven, yeah.
Okay, so I was right. All right, I just forgot that it was called a midheaven. So how is your relationship with your dad now?
Okay, my relationship with my dad right now. So, you know, just now you talk about your story of having that conversation with your mom. I actually had that conversation with my dad as well. So I remember this was about 2-3 years ago where I was... So I think as a kid, I had a lot of anger, a lot of anger, a lot of blame, a lot of guilt. And I was so afraid of assuming responsibilities in my life. And I never knew how to express it. And I was so afraid of relationships even, like just opening up to people. Because I was so afraid of what if I didn't know I'd be responsible for that relationship even. And I realized I was self-sabotaging myself a lot. So it was in, I think, 3 or 4 years back when I decided enough was enough. I was going to own up to my fears. And astrology really gave me that courage and gave me that context to really understand, to feel seen and validated. Like, hey, maybe there's something deeper underlying there. That was where I started to realize my patterns. And I remember having this conversation with my dad. I remember he was on his way to work in the morning, and I just sat him down, and imagine this, because we've never really had a proper conversation for so long. And I sat him down and he was just looking at me like, hey, what's up? And I told him all these years, how much anger, how much judgment, how much blame I actually carry inside me, because I always wanted to him to be that father figure that I never had. And I was always expecting him to be that. And as I was communicating those, I was saying all those to him, I think what I started to realize was that, why was I placing him under so much expectations? Why am I expecting him to be all those? I think there was part of me that realized that he never really had a father figure of his own as well. And that made me realize that I was really just blaming him for so many things that he was not even equipped to be himself. And I think it was then when I realized that, you know what, like, I'm going to step into the role of the father figure that I always wanted for myself that I never had. And that was when I really embodied that moment. And I told him, like, I don't blame him. I didn't blame him anymore, that I forgive him because I know that he was struggling himself. And yeah, so after that incident, after that conversation, he made some efforts to change. It wasn't huge, it wasn't drastic. He just wasn't a very expressive person. Like, sometimes he went on the way back from work, he would buy us food, but he wouldn't tell us that there's food on the table, that sort of thing. But I could tell he was his way of expressing, his way of caring. And I think it was just me extending that compassion towards him and saying, hey, I feel you. I know your pain. And I just started accepting him as he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Do your siblings feel similarly about your dad?
You know, that's the funniest thing, because I don't think my siblings are as cognizant about this ongoing patterns. And whenever I try to talk to them about it, they will just brush it off and they'll say like, no, it can't be that. Like, they don't see it as a problem. They see it as a problem in terms of dad not being present, but I don't think they see the extent of that absence and how it has contributed to other areas of their life as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you happen to have my chart available, or did you get rid of it?
No, I have it. I just have to open up my entire book. Just give me a moment.
The only reason why I ask is I'm gonna share what we're doing right now as a bonus episode with the membership. And it's more of the juicy after stuff after the main interview. And so it's not really something that I'm ready to talk about publicly yet, but I don't mind sharing with the circle.
Sure.
That I know that mothering and home is a really big part of my life. And a big driver for my life. And you're absolutely right. Like, I would not rather be anywhere but at my house. Like, that is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. My home is so important to me. I can stay in my home for weeks and not leave and it's not because I'm like a hermit or anything. It's just, I just love my home that much. And I found like a lot of my identity was in being a mother for a very long time. And yes. To the point that like I homeschooled my children, like I did like attachment parenting, like the whole nine yards, like I was with my kids all the time and had a really lovely relationship with my kids. I'm not saying it like it's in the past, but the part that feels like it's in the past and that I feel like I struggle with now is I have this constant like undercurrent of I can feel my children growing up. Like I have a 17-year-old son and a 15-year-old daughter. She'll be 16 this summer. And for the last couple of years, obviously, like they're growing up, they're coming into their own. They're not wanting to hang out with mom and dad so much. They're wanting to have their own lives and their friends and do their own thing, which is fine. And of course, we've dealt with attitudes and we've dealt with like trust being destroyed and having to rebuild and like normal parenting things. Yep. But I think what I'm struggling with in it all is that I don't know how to connect with my kids at this age that they're at. Like when they were younger, I knew how to put them in my lap and read a book to them or hold them and scratch their back or like something like that. But now that they're older, like they don't want to curl up on the couch and read a book with me. They don't want to sit in my lap and have me like scratch their back. So it's like mothering is still very important to me. And if I'm speaking from a higher self perspective, it's okay. I can make space for how things are changing in my relationship with my kids. I knew this was going to happen and there was nothing I could do to prepare myself for it. I'm just going to have to go through it one day at a time. But then there's another part of me that sort of, it's probably my ego, feels this like undercurrent of like guilt. Like I should be doing a better job of connecting with my kids. I should be more intentional about my time with my kids. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of shoulds in there, which is how I know it's my ego and not my higher self. But I feel like every week, at least once a week, I have a conversation with my family where I'm like, hey, I feel like I'm not coming up with like fun things for us to do together and spend time together. What do you guys want to do? Or like I start to feel guilty if we've gone 3 or 4 days in a row and they've been busy and out with friends and whatever, and we haven't had a meal together. Like I start sensing these things on my radar. So I'm curious because I know that motherhood and the fourth house and the home is very central to my chart and my purpose.
Yes.
How does that change when I'm no longer like actively mothering my own children?
So you're mothering other things instead. You're mothering yourself. You're mothering your community. So that will still play out. It's just a matter of what areas of your life will that play out in. So mothering is going to be a constant for you. You are like embodiment of the divine mother archetype, right? So it will always play out. I think it's when you overly attach that role to only just your family that if it decreases, right, your value as the mother just is becomes destabilized as well. So that's the danger. So I think my advice to you just listening to that is to find other avenues where you can express that energy. So in this case, your community.
Yeah. So I have been doing a lot of self-mothering. That's probably been the kind of mothering I've been doing the most for the last year, mm-hmm. is a lot of self-mothering. And then of course I have the circle, and I don't really want to be like the matriarch of the circle or whatever, but I feel like I want to create this space of like safety and like a container of like nourishment and safety and a space to be vulnerable and all of that. And I think we're working on mm-hmm. that. It's just, so those feelings of like guilt that I'm having coming through, what are some ways that I can alchemize those things into something different? You know what I mean? Something that actually serves a purpose.
So I think my first question is understanding where the guilt is really coming from. It's very interesting you mentioned guilt, because I have a feeling attached to like how you experience mother in the past. So the story you actually told me about earlier just now, how you always felt as though you need to do more. Like if somebody is displeased, I need to do more. So it's again, the emotion is guilt. So I have my sense here is that there's still an emotional attachment to the past where you felt as though you were guilty for not doing enough. For your family.
Yeah.
First step is to resolve that, release the attachment to that. Second, right, I think it's about, because guilt right now, you're feeling guilty because you feel like you need to do more. So when you attach your doing to your sense of self-worth, right, so if you do less, it means that your guilt increases. So I think it's about reassessing your self-worth. Like where else can you identify your self-worth besides just doing more for your family? So your identity has to expand beyond just family, because right now it's an over-identification of your family. I don't know if I'm making sense, sorry.
No, you are making sense, actually. Yeah, that's the thing is, because I'm in this weird, when I worked with Tammy, something that Tammy, the astrologer, has told me in all of my sessions with her is that according to my chart, I'm in this place of needing to be alone, like withdrawing to myself and needing to be alone. And even before I worked with Tammy, that was already playing out in my life. Like I created this room that I'm in right now as my office. Like I created this space for myself in March of 2020, right before COVID started. And this has been like my own personal playroom. Like I have my work is down here, and I have like my healing tools down here, and I have my altar down here and my plants down here. And I've just created this space that like I can literally come in here and not come out for 5 or 6 hours. And I've loved being alone. I've really pulled back from a lot of social things with my friends, and I've really pared back on the amount of access that I allow people to have to me. And so if you do have access to me, then you know that it's like a hell yes for me to want to talk to you, because I'm not giving everyone in my life a lot of access to me right now. And that's, it's been intentional. Like I've really felt the need to just be by myself and focus on myself and my work and my purpose and all of these things. And I think that what comes along with that is like these feelings of guilt that like, I'm only one person. I can't split myself in half and half of me being by myself and half of me go be with my kids and my family. So I don't have any regrets for all the time that I've spent by myself, like nourishing myself and healing myself. I have no regrets whatsoever. But there is this like voice back here that's, you're doing, it's too much. You need to spend less time alone and more time with your kids. And you need to be more intentional about what you do with your kids. And you need to figure out what your kids need for you to hang out with them and all of these things. Am I making any sense?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to figure out how to reframe that for you. Okay, so when you are spending time on yourself, right, in this cave of yours, I don't know why when you're saying it, right, the image of cancer, the crab, and you're retreating to your cave, into your shell. So that's like the archetype in my head. But yeah, as you're saying that, what do you feel about yourself when you are spending time alone?
What do I feel about myself?
Yeah, besides guilt, besides the guilt, like the positive aspects.
Oh, I feel really peaceful. I feel like rested. I feel like I really enjoy going inward, and I do my meditation down here. I draw my cards down here. I work with crystals down here. Like any sort of like self-growth and self-development, like this is the container I'm doing it in. It feels so right to me and I'm so thankful for it. I have a lot of gratitude for the ability and the space and the time to be able to do this, because I recognize that it's a privilege that not everybody has that. Like a lot of people have to work outside their home for 8 hours a day for somebody else, and they don't have the freedom to do what I'm able to do. So I'm like really grateful for that. But yeah, I just feel really, it's just like, The guilt is just this like nagging voice over here that's just...
Understand. Okay, so what do you feel when you're mothering, whether it's your family or whether it's your community? What do you feel about yourself?
So for the last couple of years, I have not felt great about myself as a mother. Being a mom of two teenagers has been very difficult for me, especially in my relationship with my son. Okay. And my son is very much like me. And just there's been a lot of grief for how he's changed from the little boy that he used to be into the man that he is now. And there's, again, this is why I didn't want to talk about it publicly, but I'm willing to share it with the circle. There's been parts of me that don't like who my son is sometimes. And I don't mean that to say that I don't love him and accept him for who he is. It's just that sometimes we butt heads and I don't like that. And I've had to do a lot of work on myself as far as like letting go of control. Just there's been a lot of releasing and a lot of letting go. And I know I still have a lot more of that to do, but I haven't actually felt as fulfilled in my motherhood role with my own children in the last couple of years. And this is the first time that I've really talked about it with anybody, but it's been very hard for me.
Thank you for sharing that. I recognize how difficult it could be. Okay, so when you go into this, like it's opening another can of worms. So I want to go back a little bit first before I dive into this, into how can I help you to release the guilt. So what I was trying to do was to help you to reframe the idea of guilt, because right now, our first few conversations, we kind of cemented that, you know, the idea of nurturing a community, whether it's a family or whether it's outside, is something that's important to you. So then the reframe that came to me was the more time that, because right now you're feeling guilt because if the more time you spend on yourself means that you have lesser time that is spent on doing things outside of your, whether it's for your family or for your community. So right now the reframe here is that the more time you spend on yourself, it means that you're much more rested, you're much more energized to actually contribute back to serving the community, to nurture the community. So then it's good. It's healthy for you to rest. It's healthy for you to spend time on your own. So that frees up that path for you.
Yeah.
That part is just okay, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're totally right. I can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the reframe.
Okay.
So going back down to what you just shared with me earlier. So you talk about how there are certain parts of your kid, right? Your son whom you get triggered by. Can you share what are these times where you get triggered by?
Yeah, we've dealt with some... Just like we've dealt with some screen issues, like he's had a lot of screen issues, just like where he's lied about being on a screen or he's lied about what he was doing on a screen. So there was a lot of trust that was taken or destroyed between us that we've had to work really hard towards rebuilding. And my son has, I don't know, just as a younger kid, like probably until he was about 13, he was very, very emotionally expressive. Like he wasn't afraid to cry. He wasn't afraid to come and cuddle with me. He sought out like physical affection. Mm-hmm. He was just like so great. And as he's gotten older over the last 4 years, and particularly since 2018, 2019, whenever I was really going through a hard time myself mentally and physically, which I believe was traumatic for him. I believe that's a big childhood trauma for him. And he is working with a therapist. He's been working with a therapist for about 6 months. And we've seen a lot of really great progress. But it's so weird because like my nervous system got so used to that conflict with him that now whenever he's agreeable or whenever he's has a good attitude or he's cheerful or something, my nervous system is like, something's wrong. Like, he's doing something wrong and he's not telling me about it.
Or trusting.
This is exactly what I want, but it feels wrong. Like it feels like there's something not right. And then just it hurts sometimes. Like every Friday he stays with a friend and he goes and he works with this friend on Saturdays. And for the last few months, he's been like, I want to spend Saturday night too, which means he's gone for the whole weekend. And so it hurts as he doesn't want to spend time with us. And I can't say that I fault him, but then there's that guilt part of me that's if you were thinking of more fun things to do, he would want to be home. He doesn't want to be home because it's boring or you're not fun to hang out with or whatever. And yeah.
It's okay. That's always me. When somebody asks me to share in a podcast like that, it's always me. I'm just sharing over this. So I'm best when I'm like that. When people ask me things I can say. But okay. I totally understand you. I can see where this whole link. So let me try to break it down. So the core wound that you're dealing with here is the guilt wound, that you feel as though you're not doing enough. But this has been showing up in your experience, your mom. And right now you're saying this whole guilt wound gets triggered once more when son goes out and you feel, why is he not spending time at home? I'm being too boring. I'm not thinking of enough things to do. Therefore, I become guilty again. So that whole wound gets activated. So you're still very attached to that wound. So what I would actually advise you to do is to like really, really go back to the time in the past where the first experience of that guilt set in. I know it's hard for you to recollect that, but if you could get some semblance, remember what we talked about earlier before, like it could be an aftermath of something that your most memory of the, like something that you could recollect the most. And I think it's also, that's one part. So releasing the attachment to that and going back to the incident and to reparent that younger version of you. And the second part is to really teach yourself how to trust. Because what you said, your nervous system is so used to mistrusting even the good.
Yeah.
And it's about learning how to trust again. And if you may, I can like just like over the next 10 minutes or so, I'll just get you to visualize what it feels like for you to be in a healthy, loving relationship with your son and to really imagine what it feels like to step into that.
Yeah, I am willing to do that. Absolutely.
Okay. Let me just wrap something up. Okay. So right now, okay, let me just clear my thoughts. I'm a little bit like...
Yeah, no, it's fine. Should we do some breathing together before we start?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that'd be great. Let's do that. Okay.
And then the next breath, Lindsay, I want you to take a deep breath in and just let the breath out. Just feel yourself sinking deeper and deeper into your chair right now. Just bringing your consciousness down into your body right now. Just feeling yourself sinking deeper and deeper into the chair. And right now, I just want you to visualize what it seems like to you, you and your son right now. Just watching your son, you... maybe having a conversation with him. You guys are laughing. Just see how happy that version of you is right now. How you guys are having amazing conversations, lovely conversations. And he's just opening up to you about his day. Who he's meeting. Who he is like having conversations with, his friends, his school, just anything about it. Right. And you just being a safe space, just validating him, acknowledging him, just feeling how the conversation flows, just watching the laughter, the smiles, like how you guys are just reacting to one another. And if you have that clear mental image in your head right now, just give me a nod so I know you're there. Okay.
No, it's...
Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to cry. It's
okay. Don't worry. Yeah.
It's like really, I'm picturing all of that and I can picture it. And what I'm feeling in my body is like, this isn't real. There's something fake about this. Or there's something I can't trust about this.
Okay.
I can picture it, but like the feeling I'm getting in my body is not that like warm, fuzzy, like just like melting, comfortable, safe feeling. It's, I can see it, but something feels off about it. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, makes sense. So I'm going to get you to do another visualization here. Was there a time where you ever felt safe and you could trust your son?
Yes.
Okay. Can you visualize that? So right now, just visualize that period of time when you felt safe, there was trust. And if you're there right now, just give me a nod so I know you're there. Okay. I want you to really see it, see the visual memory. And right now, I want you to walk closer and closer towards that memory right now. And I want you to see how you're reacting to him and him reacting to you. Maybe you're laughing. And I want you to step into you right now. Step into that visual of you and to feel how it feels like into your body. Feel how that feeling of trust, that feeling of safety feels like in your body right now, in your chest. And I want you to connect with that emotion of trust right now. Trust that whatever he says, you can just accept and just trust it and feel expanding in your chest, in your shoulders, in your arms, in your leg, in your neck, in your head, above and beyond you. Trust, just being trust right now. You and trust is just one and the same. Just feeling it expanding in your chest, in your body. And right now in that image, you just feeling that sense of trust, just extending it to the to your son right now. Just letting him know how much you trust him. Just feeling as though this is what it's meant to be. Sinking into it, just feeling into trust. Feeling as though he can trust you. You can trust his words. Knowing that you can always come back to this safe space. Knowing that he can always come back to this safe space. Knowing that trust is always inside of you and you can always come back to this space. You can always teach yourself once more how to feel this again. Feel it expanding. Feel it expanding. Feel it becoming you. Stepping into it. Just showing your son love. Listening to him with care, concern. Giving him a hug. Giving him a kiss. Just showing him that you love him from a place of safety, from a place of trust. Being that divine mother archetype that you are always meant to be. Stepping to this feeling of love, nurturance. There's so much inside of you, Lucy. So much. Just feel into it right now. Just feel it expanding in your chest, above and beyond you. Not just to your son right now. I want you to show it and to expand it into your community, into your healer circle right now. I want you to imagine you and that feeling of trust and safety and nurturance, just sharing that energy with that space. I want you to visualize how many people in that circle, whether it's 100, maybe it's 1,000, feel it growing and you expanding the energy and just knowing that it's the same feeling of trust that you have inside of you that you can extend to your kids, to your family, to this inner circle, to your business. The attachment to your business is a one of trust. Knowing that you can sing into it, just feel into it, just breathe into it. I'm just going to give you a minute to really just sink into this feeling. Normalizing it and knowing you can always come back to this feeling. Stepping into it. Breathing into it. This is who you are meant to be. This is your purpose, what you're meant to share with the world, with your family, with yourself. Knowing that you can trust yourself, letting go of any guilt from the past, letting go, letting it all wash away because it doesn't belong in your nervous system. It doesn't belong in your life. Trust that you are enough. Trust that you don't have to do anything more to mean anything else, more to anyone. And even if you don't do anything, it doesn't mean that you mean anything less to people. Trust in yourself. Trust in who you are. Trust. Trust. And right now, I just want you to bring your attention back to the room with your feet on the floor, feeling the chair beneath you. Just slowly drawing your attention back, coming back to the present, slowly rubbing your hands together and coming back. How are you feeling?
Whew. That was intense. Yeah. It's so interesting. Like whenever you ask me to go back to a time whenever I felt that with my son, like I immediately went back to, he was like 7, like a long time ago. And that was he was like between 7 and 10. Like there were multiple memories that I had, but he was like between 7 and 10. And yeah, it felt really good to go back to that place.
I'm happy for you. And I want you to know that like you can always come back to this feeling.
Yeah.
It's not out of you. It's really not out of you. You experienced it before. And you know how it feels like to tap into it again. You can always come back to this feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the other thing that's confusing is that my kids are almost 16 and my son is 17. Like I know that the time that they're like left here in my home or with me as their like main responsibility giver, taker, it's coming to an end. Like it's really coming to an end. And I think I feel this sort of like dissonance between really missing the sweet times when they were little, you know, and holding them and reading to them and exploring with them and like homeschooling them. Like we had a lot of really sweet times. And so there's like the dissonance between missing that. And then also I have to fully acknowledge and admit that I am really looking forward to them growing up and me having a different identity. Like I'm really looking forward to it. I don't dread it really. So that it's like weird to feel and hold space for both of those things at the same time, because they feel like completely opposite things.
And I think there's a part of you that feels as though, okay, the first one, the first instance you talk about was the attachment to that 7-year-old, the younger version of yourself, where you felt as though you were really fulfilling the role of the mother. I think there's a part of you that feels as though you're not being a good mother because, like, it's different now. Because they've changed. They've changed, and that equals to guilt for you. That leads back to your guilt, right?
Yeah.
I think it's about realizing that you have done an amazing job. And for them to... Okay, the thing about cancers, right, is that they are so afraid of children leaving them eventually and feeling as though they're not going to be needed anymore, that they can fly with their own wings without the safety of the mother, the protection of the mother, because they are so attached to the role of the nurturer, which is why, going back to what my first advice to you was, you need to learn to let go and to realize that like your kids are going to be grown-ups eventually, and you can exercise that nurturing energy elsewhere. Not just to you're still going to be nurturing to them, just in different ways.
Yeah.
It's no longer about 7-year-old, 9-year-old. It's still there. It's just not going to play out in the way that you wanted to.
Yeah. Right?
So I think it's about recalibrating those expectations and to realize that you're still playing a role. It's just going to be a little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got married and had kids so young. I have a 17-year-old and I'm not even 40 yet. So like I was really young and had no idea who I was and had never had the opportunity to live alone or travel or do anything. Like I got married when I was 19 and I was a mom at 20. And I am looking forward to this time and this time that I've had by myself for the last year or so. And I know I'm going to continue having this time. I am looking forward to it because it's the first time in my life that I've ever been able to pour into myself. And I don't feel guilty about that at all. Like a part of me would have felt guilty if it had been 5 years ago or something, because I still had that martyr complex or whatever. But like now I don't feel guilty about it at all. I love it. And I'm so thankful that they can do their thing and I don't have to be like keeping them out of dangerous situations and making sure that they're like not crossing the street or like I don't have to worry about it anymore. And it really has been freeing for me. And it's so interesting how that hidden programming of trauma makes it like to where I'm stepping into one of the most exciting times of my life and a time that I've never had before. And the fucking hidden programming is like trying to pull me back into the guilt over it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think whatever you describe is really a time for you to really, you know, step into that whole reparenting process and nurturing and mothering yourself. Because like you said, you've never really had that time for yourself your entire life. It was just like early marriage and then there's kids thereafter. So it's really setting time for yourself right now. And don't worry, you'll be fine, Lindsay.
I think it's really beautiful.
That
was amazing.
How are you feeling right now?
I feel really good right now. I feel really peaceful and just like really just, you're so right. I just needed somebody to remind me again today.
Can I challenge you and push you to do something?
Absolutely.
If you're okay. Have a conversation with your kid and let him know about your, like, why you had the trust issue and where it actually stemmed from regarding how your relationship with, like, the guilt that you actually experienced with your mom and how you constantly felt as though you were not doing enough. And let him know, like, have an honest conversation with him. And this is a conversation I often encourage my clients to have as well with their parents or with their relationships with their partners, to help them to realize that, to take ownership of the projections and to help the other party, right, realize where that projection is actually coming from as well. So in your case, it's the guilt from your past. So they understand and they can have compassion for you as well.
Yeah, I'm making a note of that. I'm going to do it for sure.
Let me know how that goes.
I will.